The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Hey, so I've obviously, because everything that's going on with me this last week and stuff, I've been a little behind on our social media and stuff. I got on there the other day and I saw the guy that you lit up that made the comment about Jason Alan Scott.
Jason. Yeah,
Where did that come from? He just out of nowhere just started talking shit or what?
So this guy started talking shit.
Yeah, he started off by saying, you have to be pretty dim. So in other words, you have to be pretty stupid to think that what he's saying is true. And then he starts picking apart
because of his own experience being so knowledgeable with the tech industry and like starting a company. It's like, oh, fuck yourself. Guess what? Like my company, you can't find it anywhere. There's no website. There's no nothing, but I exist.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and you're trying to say that he's not creating this and all, and you're so, like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, here's it. That's actually what I said to him.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. If we have a guest on our show,
we like them.
We will defend them.
We like them.
We will, and we've got their back.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, we can't fucking vouch. I don't, look, people are going to tell me stuff about themselves. I'm not going to freak. I can't go, check on it. Now, someone's giving fitness advice.
I don't even know if you're lying, bro. How many times I got to check you? You know
exactly.
Like, how the fuck are we supposed to know? Like this.
Exactly. But if people are giving fitness advice and stuff like that, then of course we're going to correct, information. But if someone's talking about themselves, then whatever. If they're entertaining, we like what they're saying and it's awesome. Great. Jason Alan Scott is a fucking great guy. He's got great stories. The dude is entertaining as hell.
He's awesome.
He's got his own podcast, which is now doing pretty well. So whatever. So this guy gets on there and acts like an asshole. So I basically said that and then I told him to go fuck himself. Yeah. That's literally what I said.
He said that verbatim.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I'm not one to say that usually.
Well, wow. It's so funny how everybody all of a sudden decides to become these critics, you know, like, get the fuck out of here, bro. Come on. Yeah. Are you serious? Like, we're going to
just be like, yeah, that was entertaining.
There are guests. Exactly what it sounds. There are guests.
There are guests.
We will not molest.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're not going to bring them on the show and molest them right here on air. You know what I'm saying? Regardless of what they say or not, you know, I think Sal said, we've had guests come on the show that we have different philosophies as far as like our beliefs and things like that. Doesn't mean that we're going to put them on the show. And, you know, it's not fair. You're not going to put I don't care how smart the dude is, whatever, that you put the three of us on one person. It's not going to very, it's not even a fair fight. We wouldn't even do that. Why would we do that? You know, it's not.
No.
Well, yeah, we try and listen to them, you know, instead of just sit there and like make this into like a battle, a debate.
Right.
It's like, I don't know, unless we structure it that way. I mean, maybe down the road we may have a guest on that's controversial and we're going to hype it up as such, though. You know, like, ahead of time.
Yeah, we would set that up for sure. Well, I mean, we've kind of tried that. We've failed.
I know.
We're trying to get CrossFit. We've been trying to get a CrossFit buddies of ours to come on for quite some time, but, you know, they're all intimidated to do that. And we've even tried to, like, hey, no, we're not gonna get after you.
We'd be super, you know, kosher.
I want Ronnie to come on.
I don't.
Why?
Because I'd rather have Neil come on.
Neil would be great, but here's why I want Ronnie. Because Ronnie's cool as hell. Ronnie will fire back at us.
No, he won't.
We can have a good time. We can have a good time with him.
Ronnie will lay right over.
No, he won't.
Yes, he will.
You think so?
Absolutely.
I'm going to have him listen to this episode. So motivated to come on the show.
I know my boy.
No, I don't mean, what I mean by fire back is like, we can talk shit back and forth and have a good time. I feel like Neil is going to get, it's going to get tense. He's going to get butt hurt.
Which would make good radio.
It's okay. I guess you're right.
Yeah. I'm thinking of the audience and the audience, like, the audience.
He looks aggressive.
He is.
Yeah. Is he real aggressive?
Yeah, and he's intelligent. He's very intelligent.
He is a very intelligent
and he's very
guy.
Opinionated. So I think it would make for great radio. And he would not, just because the three of us have a different view than he does.
What's his last name again?
Maddox.
Neil Maddox. Yeah. So if you guys know who he is, go ahead and light him up on social media. Tell him to come on Mind Pump because he hasn't answered us yet. The thing is, I feel like if he gets like tense and aggressive. Like, you guys don't know Doug. You haven't seen Doug around aggressive people.
You think he's going to chimp a monkey in the back of him?
Doug's a crazy motherfucker, and I don't want to deal with that.
He's inner chihuahua.
I don't want to deal with that shit.
He's going to shiv him?
Bite him. He's got the dirty shiv that he made out of a toothbrush. And I don't want him to stab him in the ribs.
It's in my pocket right now. We're not trying to promote violence. We're just trying to have a conversation.
Blood in, blood out. All right.
I found another great show. I just started watching. And of course, I know they're so smart. It's timing. You know, we talked the other day about Netflix.
Are you talking about the OJ one?
Yeah, and now the OJ one's out.
So you start watching that?
Yeah, yeah.
Bro, how fucked up is it? The first episode, you're watching it, you're like, this motherfucker got away with murder. Like,
oh, I know, dude.
Bro, it's so bad.
Well, he wrote a goddamn book afterwards, How to Get Away with a Murder.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's when you're a gangster.
What?
You're a gangster, you get off of it, and you're like, I'm going to write a book on how.
Well, I mean, look at the situation. Like, you know, divorce, right? She fucking takes him to the cleaners. Then she's banging some dude. And, you know, he's a crazy motherfucker. Plus, he played football, probably has head smashed a lot.
Lots of head trauma.
Lots of head trauma. Yeah. It all adds up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It all adds up.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what we do today?
What
do we do?
Oh,
today?
You know, before we talk about the quah,
you just mentioned it.
I brought home.
How dare you do that, bro?
Listen, I brought
tingle everybody's balls like that. You can't and then
say
just come
it.
Right.
You allude to it, then we say it,
and then we say it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll do that in a second. But I brought home a snack last night.
Okay.
And I tried to share with my boy Adam. You know, we're hanging out watching a little OJ, and he wasn't interested in my snack.
It's like the third time you've asked me if I want
snack
him.
Pack?
No, he eats fucking pork rinds, dude.
Chicharrones.
Yeah, dude. He's like, hey, try them. They're healthy for you.
They smell like a dirty asshole.
You never had chicharrones?
Ugh.
Huh?
I mean, it reminds me of like pulling over at a truck stop and some like big,
that's where I got
fat
them.
Truckers like,
yeah, people
here have some pork rinds. Blech.
Or have some pickle feet or pickle.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Ooh, pig's feet.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That sounds good too.
No.
Listen, this is what you do. You get a pork rind.
You move to the south.
You get an unflavored pork rind.
You're weird.
And you put hot sauce on that shit.
No, you don't.
Or you put lime on it, a little bit more salt, because they can never have too much salt on pork rind.
Or.
And then eat that son of a bitch.
Or you just eat normal.
Huh?
Or you just eat
why
normal.
Is that not normal?
It's not.
Pork
why is that not normal?
It's gross.
That's normal, dude.
That is
That's
not,
perfectly normal.
That is not.
It's fucking better than your peanut butter, banana, crazy shit shake that you have at night.
Oh, that's amazing, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's tell everybody what that is compared to your what do you guys
it's
want?
It's like the Loco Monkey. Yeah. Right? Is that what it's called?
Yeah. No, I make my own little peanut butter whey and banana shake at night, man. That's in like a little bit of cocoa in there, and it's awesome. Chocolate peanut butter and
I don't know. That sounds kind of normal.
Yeah. It sounds pretty bomb, is what it sounds like.
I don't
like.
Know.
Yeah. Sounds like a pussy thing to have. Pork rinds.
Fried pork up. Rinds if you're a man.
Fried up animal skin.
If you're a trucker. Mm. You were hoping Justin was going to jump on board with you on those.
No, I knew he wouldn't.
Sorry, bro.
Only one of us in the room has the cojones to eat that.
Cojones.
Cojones for chicharrones.
Well, I got the huevos.
Huevos.
So.
In Spanish, Justin.
Yes.
What are we doing next?
We are at... I don't know. Damn it.
It's time
Let's
for the qua.
Let's just move on.
Fire your pistolas. It's time for the qua. We could say that because Adam's Mexican.
I felt too uncomfortable to do that. Sorry, guys.
All right. Our first question is from Zach Harding. How do you know when you found the perfect form for deadlifts and squats?
Okay.
When you're able to deadlift 500-600 pounds, I'm just kidding. For me, it feels like it just feels effortless. Like I get in the, you know, if I'm squatting, bars on my back, I get in the hole and I drive through. And the only thing I have to think about is driving with my legs. I don't have to think about balance. I don't have to think about, ooh, you know, my hip feels funny, my foot position. It's just I go in the hole and come up, and it just feels. I feel like I'm in the groove with the squat. With the deadlift, same exact thing. I feel tight, I feel braced, and I just come up. For me, the deadlift feels That's easy. It's easy for me to feel like I'm in good form with the deadlift. The squat tends to be a pain in the ass. Although I will say, since taking master trainer Adam Schaefer's advice, my squats feel a lot better now that I do the dynamic.
He's good at pointing things out in squats.
He didn't point my form out. It was just the functional dynamic warm up. You know, I'm literally doing that video that we posted on the forum of you doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing, literally. That exact thing.
You need to open up, huh?
Yeah. I talked a little bit about this just recently in one of our episodes, but, you know, squatting for me was, this has been my nemesis for a long time. And I've always known the importance of it, but honestly, for a guy who was, you know, like I said before, I was training legs once a week. And I'd get after them with a long hour and a half workout. And I'd always try and incorporate squats. And whenever I did, you know, something bothered me. My knees bothered me. My low back was the big one. It was my low back was bothering me more than anything else. But there was always something. They were never felt comfortable. And in my head, I was trying them a lot because I would incorporate them like every other leg workout. And I was training legs. But now, I mean, I squat 2 to 3 times a week every single week now. And I've done that now for a year. And I have to honestly say it's taken almost a year of 2 to 3 times per week religiously for me to finally feel like
that's a great point
that I have truly, I'm truly, I can get under there, get my dynamic warm up, get under that squat,
constant pattern.
Yeah. And now I feel like it's fine. It was just maybe, just maybe like a month or two ago. I had felt that feeling already. And then I kind of regressed a little bit and I had to go back and reassess my squat and tweak a couple of things. You know, it's such a major movement. And it's, I don't know, Justin said it the other one time when we were talking about that it's not like any other lift. You know, it's almost like learning a sport. You know, it's like learning something else.
It's a skill. Let's be honest. It's a skill.
That's what he said. It was a skill, you know, and it really is. And it's taken me a long time. And you'll know when you trust me, you know when it's there because you no longer have to really think about it. You know, you no longer have to like look down at your feet and see your stance. You no longer have to think, okay, drop my hips back. And am I coming too forward? Not enough. You won't think about it anymore. Your body will naturally kind of go into that pattern, but it takes time. Mm-hmm. And it took me a lot of practice and tweaking and playing with my
checking your ego, putting it out there, dropping the load, you know, making sure. Yeah. You have that like tension from the beginning and then you're going down into the squat, you're protected, you're supported, you know, it feels like you know, you're in a low enough position where you got depth, like all these things matter. And then also just being able to grind out of that depth, like and get good force and power out of that.
I like watching Justin squat for two reasons. Number one, he's sexy. No, but number two, the real reason I like to watch him is you can tell he's in the groove. You know, when you watch him squat, he drops in and comes up. When you watch me and Adam squat, you can tell that we're both constantly looking for that groove and working for it and feeling it. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be lifts that are like that for you. And I have, yeah. I would say, I don't know. Have you guys found this trend?
It comes natural to you too.
I was just going to say, have you guys noticed this trend that people who find squats totally natural tend to find deadlifts more challenging and vice versa?
I think, yeah, I've noticed that too. And obviously I'm the perfect example of that. Like I watch you guys deadlift and it's like, it's like, you know, super fluid and everything's all, you know, aligned in the way that you want it. And for me, it's just like every single rep is just this grind and I'm really trying to improve. And it's not a natural fit for me. So it's interesting.
Yeah, because I've noticed that with a lot of people, like our buddy Joe. Yeah. He's a freaking excellent squatter, and he, you know, deadlifts for him is he's commented he's strong as shit regardless, but he's commented that deadlifts are something he has to kind of focus on and, you know, practice.
And Craig is the same way too.
Craig is the same way, and he's a badass squatter also.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking now, if we think about the hips,
they're all football players too. So I mean, we didn't do any deadlifts, just so you know.
They don't really deadlift and squat.
They don't deadlift. They don't teach it.
They're both football players.
Yeah, and they don't really teach it in any sport, to be honest with you. Like, unless it's like wrestling or it's like MMA or something like that. But like, yeah, deadlifts aren't really, until now. I think now that they're incorporating it more in the programming, which is smart because it's a base, you know, lift that you're going to build off as far as strength is concerned. But yeah, like they're more prone to teaching us power cleans and clean and jerks than they were to having us do deadlifts, which is strange.
I would say if deadlifts, if you're a great squatter and you find deadlifts to be challenging for you, practice good mornings. Because good mornings will get you really good at that hip hinge movement. And if you're a good squatter, you're comfortable with the bar being on your back.
Good mornings can be challenging, though.
That's they can be very challenging. Don't use a lot of weight. Yeah, I would say go light and just practice that hip hinge position.
That's an advanced movement. And if you're not a good deadlifter, good mornings should be even more challenging. Because most people that are poor at deadlifting have a hard time really, at least in my experience with clients and teaching people, have a hard time rotating their hips out, you know, because they
hinging, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, they still they want to pick the bar up. It's not a pick the bar up movement. People don't realize that. You're not, I mean, it looks like it when you look at it, like someone's picking the bar up off the ground, but you're really not. You're
pulling it off the ground.
Yeah, you're hinging your hips back and you're getting your arms just drop straight into it, and then it's just a lever movement. You know, it's a lever movement, not a picking up where I think it takes a while for people to really to grasp that and be able to fire that. Now, for me, I find when I get into position, naturally, my body kind of goes right in there. I pride myself a lot on that. So if you look at my Instagram, it's flooded with deadlifting and squatting because I tend to notice that, too. Everybody loves to post what they're badass at. You know, all like guys we're talking about and plenty of other dudes, they always post their squat or they always post their deadlift. Like I like to post both my shit. Like I'm trying to improve both and I want them both to be good, you know, but they all, you know, you always see people tend to do one or the other. You rarely ever go through someone's page unless they're up into powerlifting and they actually do everything and they're doing all the fundamental movements. But a lot of guys will only, especially in the competing world, you see one or the other, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess to make a long story short, it's when those exercises, the form feels like second nature.
It's kind of like love. You'll just know.
Yeah. You just
It'll just slip right in.
Yeah. Wow.
Right, Doug?
Yeah. All right. Dan wow. R87 asks, can you use Stim for MAPS trigger sessions?
No.
So next question.
Yeah.
So a trigger session, for those of you that are listening who are not enrolled in the MAPS program, a trigger session is a very light form of exercise that's used on the days off to keep the muscles in an anabolic state or to keep the muscle building signal loud and clear. In particular, the loud muscle building signal you might have set off the day before when you did your heavy workout. So it's like you're getting a little bit of a pump, a little bit of a burn. And you do it several times a day. Mm-hmm. So that's the key with the trigger session. Now, Stim.
It's a good question.
Yeah. Now, Stim is, if you've had physical therapy or have had an injury, you've probably had Stim before. Mm-hmm. And that's where they put the electric pads on your muscles.
It's the intended use of them.
Yeah. And you can actually buy Stim machines for pretty cheap now on Amazon. You can get one for like $100. And what it'll do is when it turns on, it makes your muscle flex and then relax, flex and relax, flex and relax. Now, Stim has been studied quite a bit. With exercise, and Stim has been shown in some studies to augment exercise, but in no way, shape, or form is it a replacement for any form of full range of motion exercise. The reason why physical therapists use it for rehab is because if you're really injured and you can't move your muscle in any type of range of motion, then it's better than nothing.
That's it. That's the only reason why they would use it.
Well, right. you're bypassing what you want to happen. The whole concept of that is the neurological connection from your brain down to your muscles. You're creating an artificial brain in a sense down there by putting the positive and the negative between. Well, you're not getting that. It's creating that artificial stimulation.
It's giving you some, but it's not even in the same ballpark. Well, you're absolutely right.
When someone gets injured, you know, let's just say
you're saying though, Adam, because you're not connecting with your brain.
Yes.
It's mindless.
It's just, yeah, it's mindless like muscle contraction.
So right. Exactly. When I get an injury to my I tore my ACL MCL, right, and it was crazy. My whole left side just completely atrophied. It was insane how much it atrophied, and you know. What ends up happening during that injury, because you're not using it, you're not having to fire it on a regular basis, your brain stops to send as many neurons to that side as it is doing to the right side, because it's when you're moving.
Reprioritizes
to other sides of the body and other parts of your limbs that needs it more. So one of the things they do to help slow down that atrophy is they're going to e-stim and do things like that to create that artificial connection. But nothing is going to beat the real connection coming from my brain and telling it to do that. And the whole concept of the trigger sessions is to stimulate that way, and is to what's the word I want to
reinforce?
Yeah, reinforce that and increase that. Not to, you know, you don't want to artificially do that.
Right. Now, that, I mean, that all being said, I would, you know, if you have a stim machine, I would definitely say experiment. Don't replace trigger sessions or workouts with stim. But, you know, if you got nothing better to do and you're sitting there and you're studying or reading or working and you have a weak body part, hook up your stim machine to it and do that too and see if you notice anything. I mean, it won't hurt.
Or just squeeze your muscle really hard.
Just
internally.
Yeah, if you can do that, but if you're sitting there working, you know what right. I mean, you want to do something mindless.
Well, you can't tense up when you're sitting there. I guess you can do that.
I guess you could. I don't know.
I would feel like it'd have the same effect as a stim machine.
It would. It's just, you know, I've used stim before. I actually have a machine. I haven't used it in a long time.
Yeah.
And what I do is I just for fun, shits and giggles, I put it on and watch TV.
Well, I put it, you know, I used it more like almost like a massage therapy more to me than anything else.
Yeah.
Like if my,
you put it on your bunch, no,
right on the gooch.
Yeah. If my shoulders have been bothering me with that, I'll hook it up on the shoulder and get that stimulation. And it feels really, really good afterwards. Cause it's such a mild, stimulation that you're getting there versus something that's intense, like working it out. Mm-hmm. So
it reminds me of when, I was in chemistry and we had this thing called Old Sparky. And it was this some kind of electrode that you had these two different rods that, like, we made a circle, we all hold hands, and then we would hold on to the rod, and this electrical current would go through the whole group, you know. And this was like kind of a demonstration, it got to the point where me and my best friend, we were challenging each other, like, oh dude, who's gonna let go first, right? So it's just me and him, and we're holding on to this like rod, and we're getting the electrocuted the shit out of ourselves for like as long as we could. I'm like, yeah, my whole body's just super tense. And then after that, like, I had this like huge kink in my neck, you know, going into it. I was like, it was gone. yeah, I was like, but yeah, I'm glad I didn't have a heart attack.
Justin, your idea of fun is very different from my
idea.
We
did crazy shit back when I was
just like, I'm bored. Let's punch each other in the nuts.
Sounds like a good, pretty much.
Let's go hold an electric fence.
And you know what's funny? Yeah. I guarantee you've done that.
I have.
Where you and your friends run around smashing each other.
My friend shot, you know, his airsoft guns. We got him to shoot his own like testicle.
Oh, like
point blank.
Oh,
dumbest thing, single dumbest thing I've ever seen. But
you know,
awesome.
You know, this is why men evolved to have two testicles, because of shit like that.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't need this one.
God's like, I'm gonna give him two of these motherfuckers.
We knew one of them was gonna go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Here we go.
Next one.
Yeah, this guy has both of his. Avi, father of five.
Yeah.
Do you advocate?
Yeah, you need to.
Fully operational here.
He's asking, do you advocate gym implements such as belts, wraps, etc.?
Only with sex. Only if you're making love, tie people up.
He said he's only a chalk guy, and he's just curious to our thoughts on all that stuff.
So wrist straps. No, definitely not. Wrist straps are the ones you tie around your wrist, and then you tie them around the bar because your hands are too baby weak to hold on to the weight.
That's right.
And you want to lift it, and you can't hold it.
Because out in, like, you better go get your wrist wraps. Because
you can't hold it with your baby fingers.
It's going to break.
This is why I say no on that.
You got such weak wrists.
Here's the deal. Your wrists, your grip and your wrists evolved to be strong as fuck. Ladies and gentlemen, please listen to me right now. Your hands connect you to the world. Do you think for one second that the human body evolved to have weak ass hands and have a back that can pull way more weight than your hands can? Mm. No, not at all. We also evolved from freaking monkeys, or we were monkeys at one point. Your hands will get strong as hell. And if you weaken them, you'll also change muscle recruitment patterns in the rest of your body. They show that when people lift heavy with wrist straps, it changes recruitment patterns in the shoulder area. Which is not a good thing, because unless you're going to wear wrist straps all fucking day long and strap it onto everything you try and lift, you don't want a different recruitment pattern. Not to mention, in real life, if you can't hold on to something, you're not going to lift it.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I'd say no. Knee wraps, I'd say no. Elbow wraps, I'd say no. Most everything, I'd say no. A belt, I would say use judiciously. Use appropriately. I would use a belt if you're really, really strong and you're starting to lift super heavy weight and you're a little afraid that if your form goes off, you're going to hurt yourself.
Can't you say that same thing about the wraps?
I'm kind of in the camp of not using the belt and using your same logic with the wrist wraps with the belt.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that is an ego. That is a step outside of your limitations as far as load bearing on your spine, your core. Your core should be able to adjust and brace, and that should be your whole support system is your own muscular system. So
I can't disagree. I can't argue with you. Yeah. I cannot argue with you.
Well, I used wrist wraps the other day.
Fuck. Yeah. End the show.
Yep.
Cut.
I use wrist wraps, and I can deadlift barehanded without wrist wraps more than most.
Uh-huh.
So, but here's the thing. I used it. I've got an issue.
Well, did you get a manicure? Is that why?
No. Oh, okay. I've got an issue going on with my pronator teres right now.
Well, that's different.
Well, that's why I want to. That's why I want to come from this side here, and there's. I don't agree.
He always does that to us. Comes from the side.
Yeah, I do. Let me come from the side here because these guys always do. I don't want you to feel like you're a bitch if you have all these, because I have all these things in my bag. Literally, I have wraps, I have straps, I have belts, and I have knee wraps. Although I use my knee wraps different than most people use knee wraps. They're all in my bag. The same way I feel about all these tools is the same way that I feel about most supplements. I have them all. I've got it all. I've got them all just in case. And there's times where I've incorporated them because I feel there's a need for them. Now, the reason why I use wraps the other day is I said I've got an issue with my pronator teres. I'm getting ready to do back stuff. I'm getting ready to do seated row. Now, I can seated row completely fine when I'm healthy and fine, barehanded and grip hold of 200 plus pounds and do that no problem, because I can deadlift over 500 pounds barehanded. Now, right now, when I grab onto a bar to do bicep curls with 20-pound dumbbells, it fucking hurts right now. And I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing with my stretching and getting massage and trying to give it rest. But I'm stubborn. I want to work out. I like to work out. And so part of me is crutching that and probably not doing what I should be doing, which is taking some time off and rehabbing it, doing what I should be doing. So instead, I've thrown my wraps on so it's not going to stress my forearm so much, and then I could get a good back workout in. And for me, I'm going to use it like that right now until I get some full recovery on my pronator teres and get it back to feeling great. It'll get incorporated here and there. When I use my belt, especially when I was learning how how long did it take you guys to know your perfect form and deadlift squats? Well, for a long time when I was squatting, I was using my belt whenever I went heavy just because I didn't feel like super comfortable. I hadn't felt perfect and I wanted to be safe. If I'm going to put 400 pounds in my fucking back and I don't think I have the most beautiful squat, I want to make sure that I'm a little safe when I get there. That being said, I work all the way up till I get over 300 pounds before I would put the belt on there, because I also don't want to put a bunch of weight on my back and not strengthen my core that along the way. So that was important to me. So I don't use knee wraps. Those to me, I think.
Have you ever used them?
No.
So I used them for a little while because I was thinking about competing in a powerlifting competition.
Yeah.
And you can definitely lift a lot more weight with knee wraps if you use them properly. But then I noticed something interesting. I noticed I would get a type of knee pain later on that I didn't normally get. And I realized, and I started to analyze, what does a knee wrap do, right? It creates a lot of
elastic energy,
but it's really about stability. It's all about the force, right? It's like squeezing around the entire joint.
Uh-huh.
Well, when you look at the knee joint and the way it moves, you know, when you flex and extend, the kneecap, the patella, has to slide along a groove on the femur.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm creating it's still going to slide. It has to, but I'm creating all this pressure from the outside pushing down and in on my patella. Oh. And now it's sliding on the femur. And that feels like a recipe for chondromalacia.
Well, and to
which is where you get the cartilage underneath the kneecap starts to get worn down because of all that pressure pushing down on it from the outside. And that's what I started to feel. So I've never used knee wraps since.
And I feel like that's the only one out of all of them that I find that could be that detrimental. The rest of them, if you use wraps, if you use a belt all the time, 100%. If you listen to this radio, if you've listened to our show before, we kind of talk a lot of shit about guys that walk around with, you know, their belts on and doing cable exercises, and they don't ever take it off.
Well,
and
I think too, like another thing to bring up is like the whole Kinesio tape. And the philosophy behind that, you know, from a performance standpoint, is that they can do exactly kind of what you're talking about, Adam, where you can like damper the signal as far as like specific musculature. So if there's something that, you know, I don't want to fire and I want to kind of work my way around, then they can tape in such a way where, you know, they can repattern it. So now I'm going to recruit more.
Another great point.
You know, this type of muscle, and I can give this one a rest. But I mean, that's pretty technical. And then again, this is all rehabbing. And so we're talking about rehabbing. And so that's a totally different subject.
Well, I'll say this.
Well, just like, but I think I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something that should fall right in this category that can get abused, but then also can be utilized, you know.
Well, it's a tool.
Yeah.
Tools have to be used properly.
And it's why I use the analogy of it being like supplements for me. There's a place for all the learning how to supplement for your needs, what your body needs at a time, and understanding that it's not, you know, oversaturating and using all the time is not good. Utilizing these tools all the time would not be good. They're there. There's ways to use them and not use them. I mean, I love squat shoes, and I know ideally what it would be better is for me to completely stretch my calves out and foam roll and break up all that and open it up so I have better range of motion, but it feels more comfortable being in an elevated heel. But in reality, I should spend that time. Well, it's tough when you're a guy who's trying to build his calves. So you're hitting calves four times a week, plus you're squatting three times a week. So my poor goddamn calves, you know, that's their little bit of relief they get, is by putting myself in some elevated shoes every once. But well, I know what I should be doing.
I wanted to clarify too, because you said, you know, I don't want to weaken my core by wearing a belt. And here's what you're going to end up hearing. The belt doesn't weaken the core.
It changes how you utilize it.
It changes the
recruitment
pattern.
You wear a fucking belt around the grocery store and everywhere to go, you're fucking weakening.
Exactly. But I wanted to say that because I know there's going to be some fitness warriors that are listening. No, and they're going to be like, no.
Yeah, somebody
I read a
thinks
study
they're
that
really
said,
smart would try and check me on that.
Trolls.
Right.
Yeah.
No. And you know what? By the way, I will say this. I stopped using a belt for about 3 weeks, and I used it again yesterday. And I'm going to start using it less and less and less, unless I'm looking to do like heavy maxes. And I noticed at first when I stopped using it, I felt way less stable. After about a couple weeks, I started feeling pretty strong without the belt, and I liked it. So, you know, what Justin was saying about the belt, I cannot argue with. But there's a lot of people that compete in powerlifting, and they let you use the belt and stuff like that.
Well,
use it. If you can compete with it, then you should use it because you learn how to use it well.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can tell a difference right now when I get up to 405 without a belt, which I've done. I can totally tell when I get stuck coming out of the hole. I can feel that when normally I would have my belt where I would feel myself push out against the belt and then spring up. It's not there anymore. And I give. So it is different. Learning to grind out when you start getting that really. That's where I notice the most. I don't notice it. 300 pounds. If I'm working out, if I'm doing triples or 5x5s or whatever, I don't really notice it. In fact, I feel better without the belt. But the moment I go for like a PR or I start heading up over 400 and I'm coming out of the hole, you know, I'm used to having a belt there, and I don't have that same engagement with my core as I normally would.
Yeah, so. What I've been doing is I've just been bracing. I'll brace the shit out of my core. Like right, I'm back out of the cage. I'm ready to squat. I brace my core hard. And what I mean by brace is like I imagine someone's going to punch me in my stomach. Mm-hmm. And I just real tight. And then I go down and come up. And then I relax it for a second.
And do it right away at the top before you even get moving.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I'm trying. That's a technique that I, you know, back again to the squat thing, perfecting it. I don't have that perfected yet. It's something I'm continually trying to get better at is my breathing technique. When we're going really heavy here, is bracing yourself before you come up. And there's ones when I know I brace just right and it feels
great.
Oh, you feel, I come up so easy versus if I'm not tight there, I'm not tight everywhere and firing that central nervous system just right, which is, yeah, you can tell how great it is for the CNS because of that. Because when I don't, it's like, I just give out.
It's it's interesting because I feel like, you know, your brain too has these like shut off valves, right? When it like knows that like, oh, you know, this is an uncertainty. You know, nope, let's not give him this this help and this aid. Like, you know how like all of a sudden your body just gives out.
Yeah, like, I hate that.
Oh my God, it's the worst.
I hate that.
Everything shuts off. So it's like, I think that's another reason why like bracing at the top is so crucial for me, because it's like, look, we're supported. We got this, you know, and I don't have that sort of mental side of it too to go with that. So mm-hmm.
I agree.
Nate P. Strickler, tips for pushing boundaries while avoiding injury.
Nate, forum member. Good guy. All right. Pushing your boundaries while avoiding your injury. It's all about checking your ego and listening to your body. And this is a constant, this is constantly something I have to work on for myself, constantly. Yeah. And so I can say for, and I know for everybody I've ever known that really enjoys exercise, it's something that everybody has to work on all the time. So you just got to listen to your body and just check your ego. And if you hit a PR one day, then the next workout, don't challenge yourself to hit a PR again. Do it, back it down, even if you feel great.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hit a PR and you feel like, oh shit, I think I have 5 more pounds in me, don't go for another PR. You know, it's stuff like that. My hip's a little sore. Well, then I probably shouldn't go crazy with this. I should probably listen to my body and work a little bit more on my form. Or, you know what, I'm feeling a little tired, or I'm feeling a little sick, or I'm under a lot of stress right now. You know, you've got to talk to yourself. But you know what it is? You got to become your trainer.
Yeah.
Become your own trainer.
Mm-hmm.
Because speaking for myself, I am 10 times the trainer for my clients than I am for myself, especially when it comes to this. I pride myself in pretty much never injuring a client, and I pride myself in always mm-hmm. having my clients feel good. And I injure myself 10 times the rate, because I don't listen to myself as if I were training myself. And I've started to do that more often.
There is a flip to this. Because, and I 100% agree with Sal. And I think that's a perfect answer for someone like this, for Nate. Cause I know Nate's been following us for a long time. I know he's a part of the program and the forum member, super fit guy, very intelligent. So that's great advice to him, cause he's probably more like us mm-hmm. where we have a tendency to always push the boundaries. Mm-hmm. Because we know, we understand the boundaries, we know the rules, and so someone like that.
He knows the mechanics, he's got a good gauge of like his fitness experience, so yeah,
people like
press it.
So people like us tend to flirt like that, and our best advice is, hey, learn how to step it back a little bit. Now, the mm-hmm. flip to that is the other person who, you know, is timid to work out and is already in their mind told themselves this is a challenge and they don't want to do it, or it's hard, and they're being a pussy. You know, so there's the other side that they don't ever challenge their limits. I don't know how many people I've got that are like, you know, that are afraid to squat any weight on their back because it sounds so dangerous and they've heard all these horror stories. And it's like, you know, I get I'm like, no, you have no idea. You are way stronger than you think you are. You think you can only put 30 pounds on your back and squat like and you're 40 years old. Like, no, dude, trust me, we could get a lot more weight on your back and get there, you know. But those people have a lot going on mentally on the opposite side. They have this fear of either getting hurt, or they've heard these stories, or of just pushing the body that way, because
they've just never applied themselves in that direction.
Yeah, and this is very common. Okay. From a trainer perspective, this is very common when you pick up a client who is non-athletic.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a client who's middle 30s, 40s, and you ask them, you know, and they've never played a sport before, you know, they were into other stuff.
Yeah. They have no concept of what good pain feels like.
Exactly. They don't know what it's like to push through boundaries or to stretch their limits or whatever like that. They always go to their limit and they stop, and they never learn to progress through that, which I believe that's a very important part of gains and continuing to progress, is learning to challenge yourself and to press through those boundaries. So whoever I'm talking to, I'm going to change my answer to this, because I know Nate, so I would hop right on board with Sal and literally say it just like that to a client of mine. Now, if you were a client of mine, and I'm getting a feel of your type of personality, and you are probably timid, and you just, then I'm gonna challenge you a little bit. I'm gonna challenge you to kind of flirt with boundaries and go that way, because you've never pushed that way. And I know I got to get you to mentally break through that. So,
you know, not to generalize, but I find when it comes to like lifting more weight than you should, I find my male clients that's their problem. That tends to be the male problem. Like, I'm gonna go lift more weight, and I want to lift more weight, and that's the male ego.
That's a fair assessment.
Is that fair?
That's a very fair assessment.
Now with women,
we're peacocks.
We are. Yeah. We are. And now with women, I don't see that as often, not nearly as often. But there are those type A women that push it, and typically it's not the weight that they push. I very rarely do I have a have I ever had a female client, even the hardcore ones, who lift too much weight. It's typically that they work out too much.
Yeah.
That they're just fucking, they're just grinding themselves in the dirt, and they're doing all this cardio, and they want to do all these workouts, and everything has to be super intense. And that's what I find the issue with women. Hmm. Adam, you brought up, you know, former people who are not athletes. On the flip side, if you get a client that's like 45 and they haven't worked out since college, but when they were in college, they were Division I swimmer. Here's somebody you're going to have to put a leash on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because they don't their concept of what their body can do is based upon when they were in college and they were swimming, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day.
And let's talk about the college trainers in science 20, 30 years ago too. I mean,
and they ate shitty because they were burning so many calories.
Yeah.
And then they come in and they're like, that workout was too easy. And I'm like, you haven't worked out for 20 years. It was perfect.
Like my friend who I played college ball with, and then he just, you know, kind of let himself go. And then is like, I'm getting back into working out. And he just decides to bench press, right? Because that used to be the staple thing for him. And then he'd bench press. And then, of course, he tries to max and PR his first time back. You know? Totally destroys his shoulder, and now he's rehabbing. You know?
Son of a bitch.
But it's, yeah, it's so unfortunate because it's, people do, I mean, it's, there's a whole process behind this, and it's not like something that you just want to start sprinting into, you know, and you know, you have to keep that in check.
You gotta remember, man, like exercise and diet are supposed to do one thing above all else. They're supposed to make you feel good. That's above everything. Okay. Mm-hmm. If you feel good, and what I mean by good is like, oh my God, I've got good energy, I'm sleeping good, my health feels good, my joints feel good. If that's not happening, then you need to check yourself. Either you're working out wrong, or you're not doing it hard enough, or you're working out too hard, or your diet's off. Because the problems I've noticed is when we stop paying attention to that. And especially for the people that over push themselves, they completely ignore those fucking signs. Like I'll see people, I'll look at them, and it's like, they're working out. I see people at Goals all the time, who I see there all the time, and they're lean, and you're looking at them, and it's like, dark circles under their eyes. They look like shit. Skin is bad. They're lean, sure, and they're just, you just see them driving themselves to,
and they're unhappy, and they're eating out of a tuna can.
Yeah, and they're just driving themselves to freaking metabolic, you know, destruction, and they're not listening to their body. So you should feel good, even if you're training for performance. You should feel, performance is a different kind of good, but you should still feel good. Like you should still feel aggressive and strong, and I feel like I can go fucking do anything right now. You shouldn't feel like you're dead. You know, or like you're getting mm-hmm. sick, or you're stressed, or I can't sleep, or, you know, that.
Well,
kind of
we've
stuff.
Talked about this before that, you know, so many people correlate soreness with an effective workout, you know, and it's not. It's not,
not at all.
And I think that's another great, you know, tip for learning balance and pushing and avoiding injury is that I'm always searching for that. I do want to feel that I had a workout, but I want to walk out of the workout feeling energetic, and the rest of the day I want to feel good. And the next day I want to be able to feel kind of everywhere I worked out, but I want to feel it. I don't want to be
crippled.
I don't want to feel so sore that it hinders me doing something else, because I got to go. The body works together. So when I got to work out today, I got to still use those muscles. I won't call on as much demand because I'm probably doing something different. But I still want to be able to work out, and not because I'm so sore, I don't want to feel hindered to do any of those.
No, man. If you're trying to get a tan, you want to get a little darker each day. You don't want to go out and sunburn yourself every single day. Mm-hmm. I mean, how far are you going to go if you go outside and get freaking blistered every time? It's the same fucking thing with exercise. Yeah. You're not trying to go damage yourself. You're trying to set the gears in motion for your body to adapt.
You end up with a bacon dick. Like me.
No, it's a very good point to bring up, and I think it's probably one of the most abused when you think about it with training, right? I mean, think of all the clients, think of all of our peers.
Oh, trainers. Trainers are fucking guilty as hell of doing this to their clients. I see this shit all the time. They'll get a new client, and it's like, I'm going to make them hella sore so that they think that they, you know, I'm a good trainer. You're a bad trainer.
Yeah.
Stop doing that.
Stop doing that.
Yeah.
Stop doing that shit. Stop making your freaking your 56-year-old, you know, female client do a circuit including plyos and shit. I saw that the other day.
That's an epidemic. That's not just like a kind of like we're talking to like a majority of trainers, because that was something that I always had to fucking get on to even our own trip. It's something that we all had a habit of doing is, you know, you wanted to show up other trainers on who could put the most craziest workout together, you know, who could get their client thesaurus. And it almost was like his badge of honor that I, you know, oh man, my client was so, and it creates this culture where all these trainers start doing that, and it becomes like,
and then it becomes CrossFit. It's crazy,
right?
Yeah,
and then as a trainer, if you're trying to build a business, I will tell you this right now. You hammer your clients. A lot of them will love you in the beginning, but you're not going to have clients for a very long time.
Yeah.
They'll either get injured or burnt out. And what I mean by burnt out is nobody wants to be sore all the fucking time. And it'll impede on their work, on their family life. They'll feel tired. They'll get sick. And you'll have a client for 3 months, and then they're gone. And you won't have that client anymore. Or you can train them properly, and then you get clients for years,
lifetime,
yeah, who want to work with you and hire you. And you make their life better. You don't make their life harder.
Yeah. Well, you become and I think we all have this relationships with our clients now where they literally call you for every little tip. I get text messages. Hey, I feel this going on with my body. You know what? You know, I noticed this.
That's
and
what
that.
You want to be. Yeah. You become. That's a great trainer.
Or hey, I was thinking about eating this. This would this be a better? I mean, they want everything every time they come, and you've built this value with you that, you know, they feel so confident that anything related to nutrition or their body or working out or even overall health, general health, they want to consult you first before they make the decision. And that's the best, because that's how they truly learn, is that, mm-hmm, and that's how I tell clients, is like, I want you to go through this and try this, but then I want you to feel open to ask me, and then I'll explain to you. I won't just tell you, no, don't do that.
Well, then
stay away from that.
Yeah, then we get a better look. Like, we're the preventative health and fitness professional at that point. You know, we're preventing injury, ailments, you know, like health conditions down the road. You know, and that's avoiding all these visits to the doctor. You know, all these impending things that are going to come down the road once you just focus on hammering your body and trying to get to a certain aesthetic. You know, it's just hard. It's just that long term thinking versus short term. I mean, it's every day like that's what it amounts to, and it's just unfortunate. It's because our society and everything in general is just about okay, what's the quickest way I can get there? What's the quickest way I can get rich? What's the quickest way I can do this?
Right. And incidentally, that's not the quickest way to get fit.
No.
You know, to beat yourself up. If you become that trainer that the client calls when they have a pain or ache, and they call you because they want you to take a look at it and help them, you have become a master trainer. If you're the trainer that your client cancels on because they call you up and like, you know, I kind of twisted my knee playing tennis the other day, so I can't make our workout, then you have yet to become a master trainer. With that being said, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, and check us out on Instagram. We post some pretty awesome and funny information. Yeah. You can find Mind Pump at Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal. You can find Adam at Mind Pump Adam. And you can find Justin at Mind Pump Justin. Thanks for listening.
If you like selfies,
yeah,
check me out.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.